WildTalkRadio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight.
Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Now I put no stock in what any man thinks, only what I know. And what I know is this. The result will be just like the first time. I will put him 6 feet under. Game over.
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
Nothing gets you hyped than generic royalty-free music. This is the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. I'm Sir Rocket, joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
Yay, royalty-free music! Woo! Because go Twitch, go! Yay! I don't know. That's all I got. That's the end of my excitement right there.
Yeah. So, we're here to talk everything that happened on WWE Monday Night Raw. And yes, Ash, Charlotte does win matches clearly. Tonight, we'll talk about it. Anyway, as Lindsay mentioned at the top before we came on the air, the women had carried the show as it opened up with Asuka, who was scheduled to take on Charlotte Flair in the opening contest of the evening. Well, that didn't go quite as planned because the new WWE Women's Tag Team Champions, Sasha Banks and Bayley, came out instead. And they talked about how they can go wherever they want because they're the champs now. So they can go Raw and SmackDown and NXT, whenever they choose. That's what they do. Talked about how this Asuka reminded them that this was her ring. So, you know, that happened. So when you mention that brings out Charlotte. And Charlotte mentioned how the girls are now trying to be like her, going from brand to brand, because that's what she's been doing and that's the schedule she's been holding. And talked about how they can't keep up with her stamina.
I think they'd probably like to put that to the test, but that's just me.
They probably would. Then you had the Iconics come out. They said the match people really want to see is the women's tag team title match at Backlash, and told them they beat Bayley and Sasha last year at WrestleMania for the belts.
True statement.
Charlotte told Bayley and Sasha they're still garbage, no matter how many titles they end up holding, and then they attacked Charlotte, the Iconics went after Asuka, and that led to a triple threat tag team match between the Boston Hall Connection, the Iconics, and Flair and Asuka, which was pretty good, and it saw Asuka tap out Billy Kay. Thoughts on everything that happened?
I liked it. I thought that this was really good. It's a nice way to sort of like pep up the women's division on Monday Night Raw. Not that it needed a lot of pepping, but this certainly did, you know, wonders to help make the show interesting and set stuff up that happened later in the show. So I really enjoyed it. And also, you know, it's nice to see the women carrying because that's important.
It's refreshing because there are a lot of stale characters on the male side in WWE right now. So having fresh characters in the women's division with the Iconics coming back and Asuka being pushed heavily now, it adds a lot to the show.
It does. It adds a lot to the show. So if it helps to bring the ratings up to make the show interesting, I am all for it. Like I said in the pre-show, I'm sure there are some people that are not happy that the women are carrying the show and they're complaining and everything else, but you know what? Just deal with it.
Seth Rollins came out to the announce table so he can be part of the Rey Mysterio interview. Seth and his black glove.
I've ranted on that thing so many times. I don't even know anymore. I like the suit. Like, I love the whole look with the suit because it fits what he's got going on. It's very simple, very just straightforward, and it fits the whole smarmy sort of God complex preacher thing he's got going on. So I'm here for it.
So Mysterio said he doesn't know when he'll be cleared, but he warned that Rollins will pay for what he did to him and put his family through. Rollins said Mysterio doesn't understand the power of his words. He said Mysterio was spreading lies about his sacrifice. He said Mysterio could have walked away a legend and a hero, but he was only giving him one more chance. Rollins then invited Ray to Raw and his son to come to Raw next week so they could tell him and show him face to face that the sacrifices he made were for the greater good. Mysterio said the only reason you're writing me is because you know I'm not medically cleared. Rollins said Mysterio had it all wrong and needs to understand what he's trying to tell him. And then out of nowhere came Aleister Black.
I loved the snarkiness. I loved the sass in this. Like, this is so good because if there's one thing Seth Rollins knows how to be, it's a heel.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad guy, especially that, like I said, that smarmy, greasy sort of heel that you just really want to punch in the face. He's so good at that. I'm sure he doesn't like doing it all the time, but it's nonetheless entertaining.
So this led to Aleister Black and Humberto Carrillo taking on Austin Theory and his buddy Murphy. Aleister Black and Humberto quickly got the victory over them. After the match, we heard Rey Mysterio's music, and I was like, yay, Rey, woo! And it was Seth Rollins wearing the mask. And they beat down Black and Carrillo. And then he told Aleister that he could be the next one making his sacrifice.
I don't know, you know, what he could be sacrificing, but okay.
Mm-hmm. Randall was being interviewed by Charlie Caruso. Warren said the only question he wants answered is whether Edge will be the only guest on the Peep Show. Warren said, well, we'll see. We'll see, because there could be two guests on the Peep Show, because tonight, Christian returns for the Peep Show. So he brought out Edge. They hugged. They sat down. And then Christian got real. He said, Edge, you're running on fumes. He said he didn't think Edge could pull off the greatest match ever, even when he was in his prime. He said they're best friends and they have to be honest with one another. He said Edge is lying to himself. He thinks he can live up to that. Edge told him to pump the brakes and asked if he thought what it was like to be in his shoes. You know, Randy, he hasn't had a straight-up wrestling match in 9 years. Now it's being billed as the greatest match ever. He's not the same guy who used to look in Christian and I and give him confidence when he didn't know if he'd go out there before all their tag team matches. Christian and Edge then got face-to-face, and he told Edge, I'm tired of your excuses. Because that's all I'm hearing from you. He asked what he thought would happen when he came back, whether he thought he could just perform his greatest hits. You think you just go around and hit a spear here and a spear there? Christian then talked about what happened to Edge and where is your belief? Where is your belief in yourself? Talked about Edge's mom always believed in him and was there for all of the big matches. Christian said Edge's mom would be there for him this Sunday. You didn't think she would be? This time in heaven. But Christian told Adam that if Edge isn't going to show up at Backlash, then he needs to go home right now. And then they get eye to eye and goes, we believe in you. He talked about how Edge put down Orton in WrestleMania and how we have confidence in Edge and believe he can have the greatest wrestling match ever. Then Randy came up and called Edge pathetic and he's going to try and that was his only guarantee. Orton asked Edge what would he do when he doesn't live up to everyone's expectation. He said he would take everything away from Edge and would force him to go back home to his wife and his two daughters. Warren said the redemption of Edge is over on Sunday. Edge said, no, it's not. Good stuff. Really good stuff. Best use of Christian in a long time on Raw. I like it wasn't, oh, hey, they're going to do a bunch of comedy and just sort of put over Edge and stuff. It was time to get real.
I think what always gives me life is Edge and Christian's friendship above all. Like, you can forget the wrestling and you can forget everything else, but they are true real life friends, brothers, work married, whatever you want to call them. And I love when they use that to its best advantage. When you have Christian looking at Edge as his friend and his brother and basically being like, you got this, right? And they have him be serious. Because, yeah, they're great at comedy, but the one thing that Christian does that he's so underrated for is he can deliver that really strong, really powerful, really inspirational promo when he needs to. Like, I feel bad for Christian in a lot of ways because he's sort of underrated next to Edge. Like, people kind of forget that he's there because of how far Edge, like, went. And people forget Christian was right there with him.
Mm-hmm.
And Christian is every bit as successful and every bit as talented as Edge, but he's kind of, you know, forgotten because when they're put together, there's Edge and then there's Christian. So made me really happy to see him back on Raw. He looked great. And this was a wonderful use of him and their friendship. Randy was really good as well. Again, Randy, best use of Randy Orton is for him to be a bad guy. He's just so ridiculously good at it. I'm sure he likes to be the good guy every now and again, but he's just really just got that whole heel, methodical heel thing down to a science, man. Like, he raises it to an art form almost. So this was just really super good.
Mm-hmm. Then we had the decathlon.
Oh my god, the decathlon.
We had archery, a foot race, flip cup, a dance off at one point, hurdles, I'm trying to think of what else, turkey eating contest, pole vaulting. It was so good.
I think what I really want out of this, in the end...
By the way, they tied.
They tied. Is that they become BFFs out of this. Like, that's what I want. More than anything else is at the end, there is, like, really no definitive winner, and they're like, eh, let's go get drinks and go eat some food and just have a good time.
Hopefully.
That's what I want from all of this, really. Because it just looks like so much fun to me that I don't want it to end, but I know it's coming to an end. So it's like, okay. All right.
So you want to comment on Montez doing Shawn Michaels?
Montez Ford stripping. Okay, all right, I'm here for that.
And then Ivar doing the Fandango.
And Ivar doing... I mean, you know, he went full send on that because he went for the dip. Like, the second he dipped her, I'm like, this is over. This is completely over. Anytime you're dancing and you dip a woman and you do it well, that's it. That's over, because that almost never happens to us. And that's, like, top-level romantic fantasy right there, is that a man is going to dance with you and dip you. And he's going to dip you correctly. Yeah. Saw that. That was over. So over.
So we'll see what happens next in that saga. Kevin Owens, Andrade, and Angel Garza battled for number one contendership first at the U.S. title at Backlash. It saw Andrade get the win.
But there was not... This did not go without incident, as Zelina Vega got knocked down in the match. And she was none too happy with her boys, because they got backstage and Mama was pissed. And Mama, they're like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm really sorry, I'm sorry that happens. And she just gives them the mom glare and she's like, get in the car.
No word.
We're leaving.
No words, just the finger.
Yeah, no words, just the glare and the finger. And they're like, okay, all right, bye. And they just, like, walk off, and she just stalks after them. Like, it was so good. It was so good. She was so mad. Like, yeah! You tell him! You tell him! She looked ultra cute tonight, too, but yeah, she was just badass in that sense.
So Charlotte was being interviewed, and she noted that she didn't lose last night. She didn't get pinned. She wasn't submitted. She said that to be the woman, you have to beat the woman, and she was beating. She accomplished her goal by elevating the NXT Women's Division. She said she
made it needed it, but
she main evented TakeOver. Now she's main eventing Raw. Asuka starts doing her dance in front of her, and Flair asks her, "Do you ever take anything serious?" And then she gets smacked right across the face to Charlotte.
Just let Asuka dance. Just let her enjoy. I don't understand why you gotta be like, "Do you take anything seriously?" Whap! Just let her go. Just leave her be. Let her enjoy herself.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that hard.
Kurt Angle picked Edge in the greatest match ever. We then had the MVP VIP lounge. It was supposed to be Bobby Lashley as a guest, but it ended up being the WWE champion Drew McIntyre. We told McIntyre that Lashley would use the full Nelson to take the WWE title from him at Backlash. He said he's feeling effects from it, but you know, the MVP knows Claymore kicks feel like, and because he's taken so many. And, you know, there's always a thing with the kick. There's a countdown, and he was about to do the countdown when Bobby Lashley appeared out of nowhere. McIntyre told Lashley that the only way he'd take the title from him if he pried it from his cold, dead hands. Then the Viking Raiders came out. Street Profits joined them. It was Bobby Lashley and MVP versus the Viking Raiders, which saw Lashley and MVP get the win.
I will say this. I'm really enjoying the more aggressive nature of Bobby Lashley, and what I mean by that is he has more of a personality now being with MVP, just him better, generally being more aggressive. It makes him more interesting to watch than him just kind of walking around being Bobby Lashley, right? Like, he's hungry, he wants the title, he's willing to mess people up to get the title. You have MVP by his side motivating him to go after it. I'm really liking what this is doing for him. And MVP was a really good call to put with him because he's so eloquent that it's just a really perfect pairing. Not to say that Lana wasn't, but for what they're trying to do, Lana wasn't working. And you need somebody that kind of that, not to insult MVP, but that almost that elder statesman to look at Bobby and be like, what are you doing? This is the path that you need to go down. And I'm going to walk it with you. And I feel like that's what's going on, and I really like it. Yeah, MVP tried to sucker punch McIntyre, and he did get kicked in the face for his trouble.
I like how you call MVP the elder statesman. He's 3 years older. That's it. So I guess it technically...
I mean, but the role that he's kind of playing, sort of elder statesman guy, because if you look at the roster, he is...
He's one of the longtime veterans.
Yeah, I mean, I know he and Bobby Lashley are relatively close to the same age, although Bobby Lashley does not look like he is 3 years younger than MVP.
Bobby Lashley does not look 43.
He does not. He looks like he's still in his 20s to early 30s, which is good for him, which is great. I'm sure it sucks, but, like, that's great that he looks that young, because that just helps with what they've got going on.
Mm-hmm. Also, before the match, McIntyre promised that if they beat him, MVP and Lashley, which they didn't, the Viking Raiders would have gotten, you know, turkey dinner or something.
I'm pretty sure that they would have done it for the fight. Like, I don't understand why Drew needed to promise them turkey.
I think it was more for motivation.
Again, he could have just said, hey, you boys spoiling for a fight? And they would have probably said yes, because mm-hmm. that's who they are. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's all be honest. They're the Viking Raiders. This is what they do. So the thought process of going out and fighting, they would be fine with that. Now, if turkey's involved, okay, that's fine. But, you know, I found that it's like, I'm going to give you guys a turkey leg smorgasbord if you come out and, you know...
If you beat them.
If you beat them, I'm going to give that to you. Like, that's not, like... I understand that's motivating for those two characters, especially Hansen, because that's just shtick they got going on right now. But for me, it's like, money. You're going to pay me either way, so money.
Then it was your main event, Charlotte versus Asuka. They went about almost close to 30 minutes. You had Bayley and Sasha on commentary for a while until they got taken out by the Iconics, who looked really aggressive against them, and I really liked that from them. Because the Iconics were in the crowd watching the main event, which was interesting.
They do the Mean Girls thing so beautifully.
They do.
I mean, they really do. You can't go wrong with Asuka and Charlotte. You just really can't. I just liked it when Bayley and Sasha came out, because Charlotte's standing there for a second like, hold up, my wives are here, hold up. I gotta talk smack to them and then I'll be with you.
Mm-hmm. But it was good stuff. Then you had Nia Jax cause the distraction at the end, allowing Charlotte to get the win. Afterwards, Jax laid out Asuka to close out the show. Overall, that was a good, effective way to, I guess, go home for the pay-per-view for them.
It's a nice setup for Asuka and Nia Jax. It could lead to Charlotte probably either interfering in the match on Sunday or possibly challenging the winner after on next Monday. For sure, that could happen. But it's anybody's guess. I liked how they used the Iconics in this and they set up the women's tag match that got announced today, and they're building that up. That was really, really good. I enjoyed that immensely. And I'm just happy the Iconics are back. I hope they get the titles on Sunday, because I feel like they could rock them. No offense to Bayley and Sasha, because they literally just won them.
No, no. We have to have them hold them for another week, and then the Iconics can get them. We need one more week, because our fantasy ends on Sunday. We need the points.
Well, I've got some bad news. I don't think that's going to happen. But we're going to talk about that.
When?
On Thursday.
Are we?
We are, because we're doing a show about Backlash on Thursday.
Backlash? We're talking about Backlash?
Backlash.
And when are we doing that?
10 p.m. Eastern. Ding.
And did we do a show that's available now for everyone to listen to?
We did. So if anybody's interested, the NXT TakeOver In Your House reaction video, podcast, whatever you want to call it, is up for your listening pleasure. You can download that at rackradioshow.com and wildtalkradio.com and listen to that whenever you like. We go over the pay-per-view, and it's Brent, myself, Omega, and Rock. And we just talk about what we liked and what we didn't like. And yeah, so if you'd like to listen to it, it is there and available if you need content.
Saturday night, midnight edition, CB Radio, CBRadio.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. Remember, there's Fortnite with Friends on Thursdays and Saturdays. Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio will be live somewhere between 9:30 and 10 p.m. Eastern to review WWE Backlash. We'll be back next Monday for the Raw Post Show at 11 p.m. Eastern. You follow on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account, called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free by hitting that purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use creator code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop hashtag and hashtag Epic Partner.
Ding! And you can follow me on most of the social medias and directly on Twitch at Lens Ward, LANSWARD, or twitch.tv/LensWard. And, well, that's it for me.
We'll see you Thursday night for the Rack, and right back here for the Raw Post Show every Monday night along the airways of Wild Talk Radio Network, right here at wildtalkradio.com.
WildTalkRadio.com.